Hello, and welcome to First Baptist Church.
Let's pray together. Lord, now through your word and by your spirit who is in this place, speak to our hearts. Show us the gift of Jesus this Christmas, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. It's been a bleak couple of weeks in our area. We've faced more devastation from the weather than we have ever seen in my lifetime, and I've been a lifelong citizen of Bowling Green. It's been a hard couple of weeks. And yet, into the bleakness of a moment, God shows up. One of the things that we've seen since December the 11th, right here in this region, is into the bleakness of a moment, God shows up. And he shows himself in ways that are in some cases surprising. He shows himself in ways that once we've seen them, we're reminded, oh yeah, that's who our God is. That's what our God does. He shows up in the moments that seem the bleakest, and he brings life. That's exactly what he did that first Christmas so many years ago. He stepped into a bleak moment and brought life. And he brought light. And he's doing that still today through his people. For all of you who have stepped out in any way to lay aside your own interest and serve somebody else, you are following the pattern of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are living out the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and you are doing so in a way that ushers God's glorious richness, his amazing love, into a moment that can only be described as bleak. It's interesting, that's what God's been doing for a couple thousand years now. And I want to invite you to look with me at Luke chapter 2. And we're going to go back to the King James Version. We need the authorized translation for this story tonight. But I want to invite you to hear again the story of how God invaded the bleakness with his love and with his light. Luke the physician writes as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This baby was named Jesus. In the original language, it is Yeshua or Yehoshua. That name carries a great deal of meaning, for in his name is described his mission. The very name Jesus means Yahweh saves. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent his son into the world to save sinners like me and sinners like you. And the shepherds came and the angels rejoiced and the Christmas story happened. But there's an old man that we don't often talk about. I want us to talk about him tonight. If you read just a little further in Luke's account, you come across a man named Simeon. We don't know much about him, but we know some very important things about him. Listen to the account of Simeon, verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before in the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon was an old man who had gotten a promise from God that he would see the consolation of Israel. You got to remember, Israel was waiting at this time, and they had been waiting. They had been waiting 400 years to hear from God. They hadn't heard from God in four centuries. And yet they were looking for the Messiah, and Simeon had received a specific promise from God that he would not taste death until he got to behold the Christ of God. Tonight, many of us are waiting. Just as Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, we're waiting for the consolation of us. As Simeon was navigating a world in which God hadn't spoken in 400 years, and though the Messiah had been promised, he had not yet come, Simeon was waiting for God to deliver hope and comfort to a people who were hurting. And tonight, you and I, likewise, are waiting for God to deliver comfort to a people who needed hope and who are hurting. So, waiting for consolation, we, like Simeon, look to God. And we say, God, in the face of all this destruction, in the face of all this hurt, in the face of all this devastation, where are you? But notice what happened for Simeon. God came through on his promise. For God had promised Simeon that he would not taste death until he got to behold the Christ child. And here Simeon is beholding the Christ child and he erupts in song. Lord, your servant can now depart in peace. I've seen your salvation. He's a light to the Gentiles. He's not just for the people of Israel. No, he's a light to all people. And aren't you glad? I am, that anyone who will come to Jesus can find eternal life. I've seen the salvation that you had promised. And so Simeon was standing on the promises of God, his King, and tonight we stand upon the promises of Christ, who is our King. We recognize that God has so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We recognize that God has promised that his desire is for all people to come to knowledge of the truth and be saved. We stand upon God's promise that the suffering that we must face on this earth will one day be eclipsed by a glory to be revealed to us that will so far outweigh any suffering we've ever had to endure that we will be enveloped in glory. We know that in Christ, this world is not our home. and suffering is not forever for those who trust and follow Jesus. We know that our affliction is light and momentary in comparison to eternity with God, and we know that our light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that we will assuredly receive in Christ. And we know that in the midst of it all, God's grace is sufficient for us. For His power is perfected in our weakness. And we know that God is with us always, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And we can know, therefore, that we are able to be strong and courageous because our God is here. So what do? We recognize that God keeps His promises. Just as Simeon recognized that God would keep His promise to him, we recognize that God will keep His promises to us. God's greatest promise is that through Christ, we belong to Him forevermore. We have been born from above, declared righteous in Christ, adopted into the family of God. God is our Heavenly Father. We're in the grip of our Savior, in the grip of our Heavenly Father, and nothing and no one can snatch us away from Him. God will bring to completion the good work that He has started in us. And we know that Jesus has overcome the world. And all of us who trust and follow Christ will overcome the world with Him. And here's the thing. The message of Christmas is that God comes near to us when life gets difficult. And we have been reminded yet again that life gets difficult. And the message of Christmas is that what God has given us through Christ transcends the difficulty we must face and calls us to a hope that is eternal, unfading, kept in the heavens for us. And so tonight, like Simeon, we look to God. We stand upon the promises that He has given us in His Word. And we know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that our God keeps His promises. And one of the ways we know that is through a meal that He has given us. It is the most sacred meal of all. And as you gather with family, with friends, with people that you love, it is altogether fitting that you gather with the body of Christ to share in this meal. So I want to invite you to take the communion elements that you received on your way in, and to go ahead and take out the cup. The Bible tells us that on the night that He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, who was born in a manger in Bethlehem, but grew to live a sinless life and then to be tried and condemned and to die for us, that on the eve of His betrayal, He was gathered in the upper room with His disciples. And they were celebrating the Passover. And in the Passover celebration, you eat to remember, and Jesus is telling us, in this meal, we will institute a new remembrance. So I'm gonna invite you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to open up the bread side, just the bread side of your elements, and take out that little piece of bread. For the Bible says that Jesus, gathered there in the upper room with His disciples, took bread. And when He had given thanks for it, He gave it to them and He said, "This is My body, which is broken for you." This little piece of bread represents so much. It is a symbol to remind us of the body of our Lord Jesus, which was broken so that we might be made whole in Him. Tonight, as we come to this table, we look upon what seems so small and so insignificant. But what it represents is so profoundly powerful. Small and insignificant, like a baby for whom there was no room, but so profoundly powerful that His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness still hasn't overcome it. It never will. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for this piece of bread and all that it symbolizes, the body of our Savior given for us. Please bless it, and through it, help us remember. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to take, eat, and remember. Now, This covenant would be sealed in the blood of Jesus. Wonder-working power would come through the blood of Jesus, and it would cleanse us of our sins. So I want to invite you to open the cup. And join me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this cup, this fruit of the vine, and for all that it symbolizes. That it symbolizes the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us. For your word says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Lord, we're thankful that in this cup, we celebrate a new covenant, a covenant sealed not in repeated sacrifices, but covenant sealed by the holy blood of Jesus, shed once for all, that through this sacrifice of Christ on the cross, all might find eternal life in him. Please bless it, and through this symbol, help us to remember in Jesus' name, amen. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to take, drink, and remember.